Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host El Rey discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show.
Hello all of our faithful listeners, this is El Rey here to tell you about Music House. Music House is a store by musicians for musicians, focused on the day-to-day needs of beginners to professionals alike. Music House helps you bring the music home. Whether you need supplies for band class, strings or sticks for a gig, acoustic treatment for your home studio, or even recording specialties, we are stocked and experienced to help you find a solution. Music House is located in Northwest Corpus Christi off Highway 77. Easy access to South Texas musicians. Follow us at Music House CC on your favorite social media platform or visit us at musichousecc.com for more info. And that's M-U-S-H-A-U-S.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Just me or work is crazy.
Yeah. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. For some reason.
Powers beyond our control. Yeah. I just want to make it more difficult.
I mean, I'm already busy.
Yeah.
And I feel busier than ever. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I haven't had a two-day actual weekend in a while, like free of work.
Yeah, yeah. Weird.
Yep.
Very weird. Oh, well. I guess we'll have to look forward to the Thanksgiving break.
True.
Yeah.
Which cannot come soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Yeah. We'll suck it up.
Yeah. The podcast helps.
Yeah. Yeah. it helps distract us.
Yes.
All right. So we are here to talk about the 19th episode in the 6th season of The Simpsons, and it's titled Lisa's Wedding. It's going to be a semi-cute episode.
Yeah, heartwarming in a way.
Yeah. And it originally aired March 9th of 1995. And we're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags.
And so here we are. Bart is in detention, and I like this one. He's writing, "I will not strut around like I own the place." Over and over.
Yeah. I guess Mrs. K was tired of that.
Yeah. Well, maybe he met another girl.
Oh, yeah. There's only one thing that you can do. Strut.
Oh, great scene. And of course, we get to our couch gag, and we've seen this one before, right? The family sits on the couch. The couch pretty much is like a spring and throws them off, and their heads are sticking into the ceiling.
Yep. Yeah.
So, funny. We've seen it, but...
Yeah. And it's not one of those that gets recycled frequently.
Either. Yeah, I don't remember the last time we saw this one, which is a good sign to that.
Yeah, yeah. So we are going to open up this episode...
Way different.
Yeah, way different. In a Renaissance fair.
Nice.
Right? There's music playing in the background, and then we see this banner that reads, "Night Battle, Today." And we see two knights, they're fighting on the lawn. One has a sword and a shield, and the other one has a mace.
Yeah, though, in case you don't know, the ball with the spike on it.
Yeah. So the guy with the spike ball bashes the other guy's head in, knocking him over.
Yes. And he really gets him, too.
Uh-huh.
And then we hear, "Zounds, I did the mightly spindly," in that voice, which is, of course, Ned.
Uh-huh.
All right. And zounds is a Renaissance English word short for God's wounds. But the smitley, that's pure Flanders. Oh, Ned.
Uh-huh. And this is what we this is when we find out who's under the other armor. Mm-hmm. Smithers picks up his visor and just says, "Please call a doctor."
So
It said we saw something in the background.
Yes.
Maggie, she's being held by Marge. She's being held by Marge, and we see Maggie with the thumbs down.
Yes. Maggie wants Ned to finish the job.
Very.
That's so cool.
Yes, it is. It's a very little nice touch there by the artist.
Of course, Ned is a badass as a knight, too.
Right? Uh-huh.
I don't know what's worse, getting hit like that or the banter that Ned gives you afterwards.
Yeah, I would hate to get my ass kicked and then hear somebody talk like that after.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Bart, right, sitting there and he's whining. He's like, oh, these Renaissance fairs are so boring.
And Marge says, oh, really? Did you see the loom? And then the camera turns to the loom, right? And she says, I took loom in high school. And she sits down and she starts to hum happily and she weaves
a message
on the loom. It says, hi, Bart. I am weaving on a loom. And she was really proud of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I will admit that for her to do that fast is actually pretty, really impressive.
Yes.
However,
it just proves Bart, that she's a square.
She's such a square. She's such a square. And so Bart's reaction to this is just, meh. So he's not impressed, right?
Yep. So then we turn to the next scene, and we see a suckling pig, right? It's got an apple stuffed in its mouth, and it's rotating over the fire on a spit and staring at the pig with an apple stuffed in his, candy apple stuffed in his mouth, and following the rotation of the pig with his eyes, we see one Homer Simpson.
Yes.
That was a rather cool looking, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a cool little scene. So, yes, two pigs in the scene.
Yep.
And so we see the lady that's cooking this, which is
Lunch Lady Doris.
Uh-huh. Yes. And she says, yon meat, 'tis sweet as summer's wafting breeze.
And Homer's like, can I have some?
Mine ears are only open to the pleas of those who speak ye old English.
And then Homer goes, sweet maiden of the spit, grant now my boon, that I might sup upon suckling pig this noon.
Which is very impressive.
Yes, very impressive.
Yeah, there's food involved.
Uh-huh.
There you go, Homer. And Doris just says, whatever. You gotta love Doris.
Yep. So Homer's walking down happily, and he's looks like he's got the leg of the pig,
yeah,
right?
He's just chomping on it.
And of course, he's got food all over himself, right? Homer's like, ooh, I've eaten 8 different meats today. I am a true Renaissance man.
Yep. And so Lisa is very disappointed looking.
Yep.
And she says, I'll go to the first aid tent and tell them to plug in ye old stomach pump. Yeah, she knows something bad's going to happen.
Yep.
And so she walks up to Police Chief Wiggum. Right? He's like a friar.
Yeah.
And he's standing at the entrance of a tent, and it says, Friar Wiggum's Fantastical Beastarium.
Yeah. So Wiggum goes, alight your gaze on yonder fabled beast of yore. And he motions to the chimera and manticore pictures, right?
Yes.
And then we walk inside the tent. He goes, behold, the rarest of the rare, the mythological two-headed hound born with only one head. So we see a hound dog there.
Yeah,
just a regular.
Yeah. Run-of-the-mill dog.
Uh-huh. And he goes, by the way, did you notice as soon as you walked in, we saw that chicken with the rainbow wig?
Yes. Yeah, they're right there on the, yeah.
Uh-huh. So then he keeps going. He goes, ooh, and here, out of the mists of history, the legendary Esquilax, a horse with the head of a rabbit and the body of a rabbit. And then the rabbit hops away and he goes, oh, it's galloping away.
So Lisa goes after it, right? Yeah. She says, here, buddy, buddy, buddy. She's going after it.
And then Chief Wiggum corrects her. Here, Esquilax.
Yeah, so she chases the rabbit off into the forest.
Right? Uh-huh.
And she's laughing, but then the woods kind of close
get creepy.
In. Yeah, they get real creepy. She gets a little scared. And there's a tent. and she pulls back the opening, the flap of the tent. And there's a woman there, a gypsy-looking woman.
Yep.
And she's sitting at a table, and there's candles around her, right? And she says, "I've been waiting for you, Lisa."
And Lisa gasps, "How did you know my name?"
"Your name tag." And it says, "Hi, I'm Lady Lisa," right on there. Uh-huh. And she asks her, "Would you like to know your future?"
She goes, "Sorry. I don't believe in fortune telling. I should go."
And so the woman then says, "What's your hurry? Bart and Maggie and Marge are at the joust, and Homer is heckling the puppet show."
And Lisa gasps again. "Wow, you can see into the present."
True. And so the woman says, "Now we'll see what the future holds." And she turns over a tarot deck card, right? Mm-hmm. She turns one of the cards over.
And Lisa gulps, "The death card."
And the woman says, "No, that's good. It means transition, change."
And Lisa's like, "Oh."
And she turns over another card.
And Lisa goes, "Oh, that's cute."
And the woman gets scared. She says, "The happy squirrel."
And Lima's like, "That's bad?"
She says, "Possibly. The cards are vague and mysterious." And she says, "They seem to be revealing the story of your first love. Do you want me to continue?"
And Lisa thinks about it. She gulps hard. And she goes, "Guess so."
And so the woman does the whole concentration thing with the hands. "It's coming to me. Yes." And she says, "I see an Eastern University in the year 2010. The world has become a very different place. And there's robots walking around. They go into the little sequence for the future. And there's a sign that says, Wizard of Oz editions today." And then a scarecrow and a lion.
A lion.
So it's a very weird time.
Yep.
And there's a student there, right? And he says, "I can't wait to see that play." And so,
yeah. We keep walking through the university. We're in the courtyard, and when you see one of the trees flicker in and out, like it's a bad TV picture. So somebody walks up and kicks it, and it starts working properly, right? And the plaque reads, "In memory of a real tree."
Yes, they're all gone.
Yep.
Well, we made it past 2010, so yeah. We're okay.
We're good.
We didn't get that one right.
Yep.
And so then we see Lisa. Right? And she's all grown up.
Yep.
She's in jeans, right? Her sweater. She's walking down the stairs, fixing her hair. And she goes walking towards a drinking fountain, and she knocks heads with a guy that's going for the water also. And they both say, "Hey, watch it!" Right? And so the man there drinks from the fountain, right? And then walks away. And Lisa's very upset.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "That man is instantly the most annoying person I have ever met."
Yep. And she keeps walking, and she says, "A soy-based snack will calm me down." That's a sentence I hope I never have to repeat.
Yeah. You did it for the sake of art.
Yes. But if I say it in a normal, everyday environment...
Oh, I'm going to knock you upside the head with something.
Please do. You have my permission.
I'm throwing a cheeseburger at you.
Something. Okay. Something. Yeah. All right. So she walks over to a soy pop vending machine, and we see somebody using a card, and they purchase the last soy pop. And by the way, they now come with gag suppressant. And it's that same guy. It's that same guy, right? And Lisa sees, and there's no more soy pops for her. And she growls unhappily while staring at that guy.
And if that wasn't enough, then he walks into the elevator, this guy. And the door closes right before Lisa can get in. And she's just like, him again. And she's walking up the stairs, right? And she runs up the stairs, and she's running out of breath. And she gets to the library, the reference desk.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's panting. And she tells the person there, "Hello, I need Ecosystem of the Marsh by Thompson."
The librarian goes, the last copy was just signed out by..." She's checking the computer. "Oh, Hugh Parkfield. Oh, there he is." And he points out that same dude.
Yes. Well, she thinks it's the same dude, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, "No, it couldn't be." There's a guy holding the book. And he turns around, and it isn't that guy. And she's just like, "Phew." He was dressed the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what happens then? We see Hugh, who's been bent over a tiny shoelace, stand up and say, "Thanks for holding my books while I tied my shoe."
To which Lisa embraces Homer and says, "Don't!"
Yep.
I love that they all still get that from Homer.
Yep. That's something that they did inherit from me.
It's so funny. And so, Lisa goes up to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's like, "That's the book I need. You'll probably take forever with it too."
And Hugh's like, "I can read faster than you."
She says, "I read at a 78th grade level."
So he opens a book, slaps it on the table, and he points and says, "Right here." And they both start reading as fast as they can.
Yeah, you just see their eyes moving back and forth. Mm-hmm. And the time goes by because it's dark outside. You can see through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks him, "Finish this page?"
Ages ago.
She just growls again. Argh!
And then he goes, "I'll get the dictionary."
And she goes, "Why?"
You'll see when you get there. The word is stochastic.
And Lisa just says, "Pertaining to a process involving a randomly determined sequence of observations."
They both look at each other and kind of laugh.
And then they just start making out.
Yep.
Right there in the library.
Yep.
And the librarian's looking and she's like, "Huh." First they hate each other. Now all of a sudden they love each other. Oh, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And the guy walks by and says, "Of course not. You're a robot."
And you see a tear come out of the librarian's eye. And then I guess the water short circuits the rest of it. And she is a robot.
Yep.
The head like
melts away.
It's actually kind of disturbing.
Yes, it is. So then Lisa and Hugh go on a date to 40 classic films starring Jim Carrey. By the way.
Okay. I don't hate Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly love Jim Carrey. I do enjoy some of his movies.
Yes.
I don't know if I could watch 40 classic films of Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I mean, what's that show? Portlandia?
Yeah.
You can only watch one or two episodes at a time.
It's so funny, but it's so... I don't know. It takes a lot of patience.
Yes.
Even though I know it's a joke, but I know it's true too.
Yes. So, you know, you can't binge watch those.
Yeah.
It's like one or two episodes.
It is a great show, though.
Uh-huh.
Very
well. It is well written. So, same thing with Jim Carrey. Maybe two movies a day, tops?
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say a lot of his stuff was funnier when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, but I used to, like, watch The Naked Gun, and I'd laugh my ass off.
Yep.
I turned it on the other day. I was like, I can't believe I ever laughed at this.
You think it has something to do with seeing O.J. Simpson in it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Juice.
The juice was loose.
Oh, man. But yeah, you know, Jim Carrey, good in small doses.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so, yes, they're walking out, and Hugh tells her, "I've never met anyone who so understood the magic of Jim Carrey."
And Lisa's like, "He can make you laugh with no more than a frantic flailing of his limbs."
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And they go back to Dr. and Mrs. Dre Hall.
I guess, yeah, that's the building.
Yes, I guess Dr. Dre donated a lot of money to the university.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hugh says, "I can't believe how much we have in common. We're both studying the environment. We're both utterly humorless about our vegetarianism. And we both love the Rolling Stones."
Yes. Not for their music, but for their tireless efforts to preserve historic buildings. What the hell?
I don't know. Lisa became as much as the square as Marge.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so Hugh says, "Lisa, I can't bear the thought of being apart from you all summer. Come back with me to Parkfield Manor."
And Lisa goes, "I'd love to. Can we get a vegetarian meal at your parents' house?"
"Yes, we can, Lisa."
"That is good, because eating animals is wrong."
"So very wrong."
"When will the world learn?"
"I don't know. I just don't know." Ugh. I don't like this guy.
I need to take a shower after saying that.
I know,
that.
Right? Yeah. That took a lot out of me.
I need a brisket or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're doing that. And so, you know, they're on a plane now, right? We cut to that scene. and they're about to take off.
By the way, the planes look funny.
Yeah.
They look like they got the modern body, but they got the old Orville Wright.
Yeah. So weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It is funny, though.
The wings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lee says, I love these new planes, right? She's happy about it.
And Hugh says, yes, it's a good thing they reevaluated those wacky old designs.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we see all the wings on it.
Right? Uh-huh.
And so they fly into London, right? Big Ben's clock is not a regular clock anymore. It's digital. But it's flashing 12.
Yep.
Repeatedly.
Uh-huh.
I can't stand that. I've never been one to let that slide on anything.
Yeah, they're on the VCR. That's the most common thing.
VCR back in the day.
Yep. Always slashing 12.
Crazy.
But mine never did. You know why? I had it set to record The Simpsons when it came on.
There you go.
Ugh.
Awesome. And so they get to the house, right? They're there to meet with Hugh's parents. And this is being nice. It's like beautiful dinnerware, Mrs. Parkfield.
And Mrs. Parkfield goes, thank you, Lisa. They were made for the finest family in Britain.
And then the dad, Mr. Parkfield, says, I don't know how we ended up with them.
And Lisa's thinking, uh-oh, should I laugh? Was that dry British wit or subtly self-pity? They're just staring at me. Better respond. And she goes,
and Mr. Parkfield says, oh, it's good to hear a boisterous American laugh. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And Lisa goes, and I love that painting. Judging by the clothes, I'd say 17th century.
And Mrs. Parkfield says, actually, Lisa, it's just Uncle Eldred.
And then we see Eldred, who's fishing in an empty fishbowl, right? He goes, I get me brain medicine from the National Health.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we cut to Hugh and Lisa. They're outside. They're having a picnic right in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa's very smitten by all of this, right? She's like, this place is so enchanting, Hugh. I love it here.
And Hugh goes, I wanted this to be perfect for you. I know you Americans like everything to be fireworks.
And as he says that, the fireworks start going off in the distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa's like, oh. And she sees a sign lighting up slowly. And it says, Lisa, will you do me the honor of giving me your hand in the holy tradition of matrimo? And it starts right there and it burns out.
And then Hugh's like, oh, blast. And he speaks it to his wife and says, go to plan B.
And a cow walks out with a sign that's hand-painted that says, marry me.
And Lisa says, yes, I will. And they kiss.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then there's a guy there that works there. And he's like, isn't it wonderful? Pastor Hugh has found a true love.
And then both of them cry and both of their heads melt.
Because they're robots, yes.
Yep. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got a bone to pick with this.
What's that?
If they're both so vegetarian and so animal conscious, why would they use the cow like that?
I guess making it do labor against its will isn't against their conscience.
Ah, so yeah, I find a hole in the logic right there.
The next thing we know, we see Lisa dialing Marge on a video phone from Parkfield Manor. Lisa goes, hi, Mom.
And so Marge is there really excited. She's like, Lisa, hello. How are you doing in England? Remember, an elevator is called a lift. A mile is called a kilometer. And botulism is called steak and kidney pie.
True. Very true, by the way.
Yes.
And Lisa goes, guess what? You and I are getting married.
And Marge says, all right, Lisa, that's wonderful. If only your father were still with us. But he left for work a few minutes ago. That's a good solo joke. I did like that.
Yeah. They're like, oh, no, he's there again. He's still here. So Lisa goes, Mom, remember when I was little, we'd always plan for my dream wedding, and you promised to, you know, well, keep Dad from ruining it?
And so Marge crosses her fingers. She says, oh, don't worry, honey. I guarantee your father will behave.
And Lisa's like, Mom, it's a picture phone.
And so Marge looks at her finger and she goes, this? This? Oh, no. I've just got a touch of the rheumatiz.
And Lisa's like, oh.
And so Marge wipes her brow and she goes, phew.
And Lisa goes, Mom, picture phone.
Oh, my goodness.
So next thing we know, we see a futuristic building.
Yes.
And Bart is sitting on a high back chair. But he's not in an office.
No. So he's on the phone. He says, hi, Mom. Oh, that's great news about Lisa. Well, listen, I better get back to work. And he hangs up and he just laughs. He says, they're finally paying me for this. And he's actually in a crane demolishing said building. Right?
Yep.
And he's enjoying it.
Yep.
He's enjoying himself big time.
And next thing we know, we're at the power plant. There's a sign that says, still operating thanks to the lengthy appeals process. And a lot of the work is being done by robots now. The camera's panning past, and we see a conference room where Lenny and Carl are sitting across from two other dudes. So I guess we see Lenny and Carl have really succeeded.
Yeah, they moved up.
Yep. And then we go to Carl says, yes, well, the international market is my focus.
And the camera glides over onto Homer, who is still working at his same station.
Uh-huh.
And he's on the phone, and he says, woohoo! Oh, Marge, that's great news.
And this is when Milhouse walks in.
Yes, adult Milhouse.
And he looks like his father, Kurt.
Yeah, he really does.
He's even got the bald spot on top of his head.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Milhouse goes, hey, there with the personal called Simpson.
And Homer says, oh, but Mr. Milhouse, my little girl's getting married.
And Lisa's like, I'm sorry, Milhouse's like, Lisa? Oh, my one true love.
And we have a nice little flashback here.
Uh-huh.
We go back to teenage Milhouse. He's got pimples all over him.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting in a car with Lisa. And Lisa tells him, it's not you, Milhouse. I just don't plan to ever get married. And Milhouse lets out this horrible... It is so not Thrill House.
Yes, yes.
It's really bad.
But by the way, that was a nice cry. It sounded just like him.
I was practicing that earlier.
So Milhouse goes, I think I'll write your performance evaluation now, Simpson. And he walks out angrily.
That's horrible.
But Homer looked kind of happy.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't get the...
He doesn't get it. Yeah. And so the camera, right? We're out of the power plant. And the camera pans down on Evergreen Terrace. Past a lot of houses that look very modern and futuristic.
Uh-huh.
And then it stops on the Simpsons house, which is real shoddy still.
Yep.
There's some additions to the house.
Yes, some shoddy additions.
They don't. I'll put it this way. If you're a valley folk like us,
mm-hmm.
there's always that one dude in the neighborhood when you're growing up that thinks they're an architect and they're not. There's always one.
Yeah.
And you just drive by and how is that standing?
Yes.
Yeah. Like that. And so we see Homer,
mm-hmm.
right? And he says, oh, I got to call everyone and tell them the good news. And he picks up the phone. But it's in use. It's like, what? What? Maggie, I need to use the phone. Right? And so we see upstairs.
Maggie's just like looking very upset.
Yeah, she's very teenage at this point.
Uh-huh.
She like rolls her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, will that girl ever shut up?
And we've never heard her speak.
Yeah, not yet. And he says, okay, Marge, I'll plan everything. We can have the reception at Moe's. Wait, why not have the whole wedding there? We'll do it on a Monday morning. There'll be fewer drunks.
And Marge goes, Homer, don't take this personally, but I've obtained a court order to prevent you from planning this wedding. And she hands him some documents.
And he actually reads them. He says, well, these seem to be in order. I'll be out in the hammock.
He handled that pretty well.
Yeah, I do appreciate the enthusiasm from Homer.
Yeah. But Moe's?
Yeah.
Really?
I understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut to people reading the invitations, right? First, we have Smithers.
And Smithers goes, Mr. Smithers plus guest. Huh. There's only one person I want to bring. Then he pulls out a frozen Mr. Burns from the wall. And he goes, oh, Mr. Burns, we'll thaw you out the second they discover the cure for 17 stab wounds in the back. How we doing, boys?
And Frank is there. He's like, well, we're up to 15.
And a bunch of scientists go, yay!
Damn, 17.
Yep.
In the back.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And so Principal Skinner reads his invitation at school, right? He's thinking to himself. He walks down the hall. He looks into Miss Hoover's classroom, right? And the children are sitting in front of a TV screen, piled on top of each other.
Yeah, three high. Yeah.
Crammed into desks, right? Uh-huh.
And they're watching TV, right? And on TV, we see one Troy McClure.
Yes.
By the way, time has not been kind to Troy McClure.
No, it has not. Oh,
my goodness. So he goes, now, turn to the next problem. If you have three Pepsis and drink one, how much more refreshed are you? You, the redhead in the Chicago school system.
All right. And the window opens up on the screen and shows this girl, right? And she's like, Pepsi?
And Troy goes, partial credit.
Oh, God. It's really gone down the tubes.
Yep.
And so Skinner walks in. He says, we've been invited to the wedding of our only graduate to read at an adult level.
And Miss Hoover's like, it must be Lisa Simpson. Because, of course, Martin Prince perished in that science fair explosion.
And the camera pans down. I love this part. And we see an adult Martin. But he's dressed like the Phantom of the Opera. He's like, not quite perished, my lady love, although some days I wish I had. And he plays some of the fifth from Beethoven on his organ.
Yep.
So apparently that's what happened to Martin. He's living underneath the school. Right.
The whole recluse life.
Yep.
So then we see Hugh and Lisa leaving for the airport in a car belonging to the Auto Cab Company. Established 2003.
Yep. And so Lisa tells the cab driver, hey, I remember you. Mayor Quimby, right?
And Quimby goes, no. Look at the license. Muhammad Jafar.
And Quimby doesn't look good.
No, not at all.
And we see Otto, right, on screen. He says, Quimby, after this fair, get your indicted ass out to the convention center.
And Quimby's like, I cut the ribbon at the convention center.
I do love how Otto's moved up in the world.
Though. Yes.
That's so good. And so Lisa is like nervous. She's like, just a couple more blocks to my house. And she starts hyperventilating, right? She's very nervous.
And Hugh's like, Lisa, darling, don't worry. I'm sure I'll get along with your family. You've so thoroughly prepared me for the worst. As long as they're not squatting in a ditch poking berries up their noses.
And Lisa starts, and if they are?
And then we see Bart, and he sees them. He's like, hey, here they come. Raise the flag.
And so Homer raises a flag, and it's the Union Jack, uh-huh. Right? And I'm trying to do something nice, but when he raises it, it catches something electrical, a bug zapper.
Yeah, one of those bug zappers, uh-huh.
And so Marge just happened to see Lisa. He's like, oh, Lisa.
And Homer's like, yo, Hugh, here's a little bit of U.S. hospitality. What do you think of that? And he points to the flag, which happens to be on fire right now.
Yes. And Lisa just yells, Dad.
And Homer's like, ah. And we see tears in Hugh's eyes.
Yes.
So they bring the flag and they start to stomp on it, but the fire won't go out.
No. And so Marge says, now throw some compost on it. And they do. The fire goes out, and Homer goes, whew, enjoy. And he gives the flag to you.
And he was like, with the tears still in his eyes, like, oh, it's still warm.
Well, while we're talking about that, shout out to the queen.
Yes. Yes, from 6 feet under.
Yep. So we now see they're in the house, right? I guess they got past that little debacle. And Homer leads Hugh into a room. And Homer says, you can be the first to try out the new guest bedroom I built. And then he says, real quietly, he's like, remember, if the building inspector comes by, it's not a room, it's a window box. And he walks out.
And Lisa hugs Hugh. He's like, oh, Hugh, thank you. You've just been wonderful throughout this entire ordeal.
And Hugh says, Lisa, I love you so much, I'm willing to go through anything. And he falls through the floor at that point from Homer's shoddy construction work.
Uh-huh.
And he lands in the compost heap.
And Lisa's like, are you okay?
And he goes, I'm fine, Lisa. Fortunately, the compost heap broke my fall. Be a dear. Run a bath. Poor Hugh.
Yep. So next thing we know, we're at dinner and the family is pigging out.
As usual.
Uh-huh. While Hugh just sits there and like looks at them like they're a bunch of animals.
He can't believe what he's seeing.
Uh-huh.
And so Marge says, Homer, Bart, Maggie, company eating rules.
And Homer burps, oh, right.
And everybody starts eating real delicate, like nibbling on their food, trying to be all fancy.
Uh-huh.
And so Bart jumps in and says, anyway, Hugh, there's more to my life than just the wrecking ball. I also crush cars into cubes. And on the side, I promote local tough man contests. Basically, I'm getting out all my aggression till I go to law school.
And Homer goes, so Hugh, have you heard all the latest American jokes? Here's a good one. Pull my finger.
And Hugh chuckles, right? He's like, yes, we have that one in England too, Mr. Simpson.
And then Homer goes, I said, pull my finger.
Getting mad already.
Uh-huh.
And so Lisa jumps in. She's like, Mom, we've got my wedding dress fitting this afternoon. Maggie, if you're not doing anything, why don't you come with us?
And Maggie's like,
And right when she's going to talk, Marge jumps in and says, Maggie, don't talk with your mouth full.
And Maggie just sits there giving her the stink eye, right?
Yeah. Again.
We didn't hear Maggie talk at all. So Homer goes, me and Bart will take you out to the town this afternoon.
Yeah, and Lisa says, Hugh should take it easy because of his fall.
And Hugh's like, oh, Lisa, please. The only thing bruised in that fall was my spine. I'd be delighted.
And Homer says, great. There's only one thing I ask in return.
And Hugh goes, certainly.
Pull my finger.
So next thing we know, we're in the car, and Hugh is covering his eyes and screaming his little heart out while Homer's yelling, so, this driving on the left makes you feel more at home, huh, Hugh? Oh, he's driving against traffic.
It's so terrible.
Uh-huh.
And so they're at Moe's, and the 1500 channel cable is with Kent Brockman,
mm-hmm.
right? He's reading the news for the CNN BCBS, which is a division of ABC, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? And Kent says, and tonight, the following celebrities have been arrested. And a list scrolls by, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while Heather Locklear Hortensky remains at large, remember, if you see any celebrities, consider them dangerous.
She was a hottie back in the day.
Old Heather.
Yep. But I was always a bigger fan of Heather Thomas.
Heather Thomas.
You know her?
I've heard of that.
The Fall Guy?
Okay, yeah.
The Blonde?
Yes, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, a little before my time, but yeah. And so Hugh says, you know, I rather like this pug.
And Mo goes, oh, an English boy, huh? You know we saved your ass in World War II?
And he says, yeah. Well, we saved your ass in World War III.
And Mo goes, that's true.
Yep. So apparently there was another world war already.
Yep. So Homer goes, Hugh, there's something I want you to have. My dad gave me these cufflinks the day I married Marge, and they brought us good luck. I couldn't imagine a happier marriage. We don't have many traditions in our family, but it'd mean a lot for me if you kept this one alive.
And Hugh starts like, well, I'd be honored. And Homer opens the case, and the cufflinks are little pigs of a bride and a groom.
Yeah.
And She was like, to wear those things.
And Homer just goes, aw.
He didn't like
it. No. So we pan over and we see Bart wearing a headset and gloves. And he's like pretending to play pool. And another guy behind him is wearing a headset and gloves. And he's miming throwing a dart. And he tosses a dart. And Bart feels in the back of his head.
Yeah. And he's like, ow, hey, watch it with those virtual darts. I'm trying to play virtual pool. And he swings the pool cue, right, the virtual cue, and he hits the guy, right? So the guy grabs a virtual chair and breaks it on Bart. And they're doing this while they're doing VR stuff.
Yeah.
And the two are fighting, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Mo has had enough. And Mo says, hey, no fighting in my bar. And he pushes his button. And this high-pitched, like, tone comes out of it. And they just, like, writhe on the ground in pain. That's pretty cool. As far as crowd control on that.
That sonic weapon is no joke. So, next thing we know, it's at night. And we're in bed. Marge is watching TV. And she goes, you know, Fox turned into a hardcore sex channel so gradually, I didn't even notice. Yeesh! And she turns off the TV.
Yes, another joke at their station.
Network. Yep. Uh-huh.
Yep. And again, remember, guys, if you weren't there in the 90s, that was the reputation of Fox. They would show the stuff that nobody else would show. Yeah. They didn't get that bad, but there was like a lot of speculation that it would get there at some point.
Mm-hmm. I think it had the first show that said the word butthole.
Yeah.
Of course, but it wasn't butthole.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bleeped out or anything.
So, yes, Fox had that big reputation back in the day.
Yep.
And so Homer says, Marge, it's so great to have the whole family together under one roof. I never realized how much I missed it. Listen to the murmurs in the next room. The house is full of life again. And then he pounds on the door. Keep it down in there.
And Lisa goes, all right, Dad. And she sighs. Like, I'm sorry I left you alone with Homer and Bart.
And he says, no, honey. I had a fine time.
How did you get that gash on your forehead?
Like, oh, that was when we hid in the dumpster after the fire alarm went off in the pornographic magazine warehouse.
And Lisa's like, oh, you're so good to put up with all of this.
And he says, oh, don't be silly, Lisa. Everything's fine, really. Now go to sleep. We have a big day ahead of us tomorrow. Big, long day. And they kiss, right? And Lisa turns over and he's just like drumming his fingers. Very
worried.
Worried, yeah.
So the next day, Marge walks up to Lisa and says, Lisa, I can't believe it's your wedding day already.
And Lisa says, Mom, I feel kind of funny wearing white. I mean, Milhouse.
And Marge goes, oh, Milhouse doesn't count.
And they both laugh.
Oh my God.
And Lisa says, okay, I've got something old. That's my pearl necklace. Something new is the wedding dress. Something borrowed is this antique brooch from Hugh's mother. Now I just need something blue.
And Marge grabs some scissors, cuts a lock of her hair. She goes, here.
And that's a very sweet moment between Lisa and Marge. Mm-hmm. She says thank you and they have a hug. Mm-hmm. Right? And so a tent's been set up for the wedding. Right? The shadow of the power plant is in the background. We see some horrible fish hop out of the water.
Yes.
Yeah, worse than Blinky.
Yes. It was not a good sight.
And Lisa's getting ready in the mirror.
And Bart walks up and says, wow, Lisa. Looking at you makes me want to get married for the third time. I met a really nice exotic dancer the other night at Hugh's bachelorette party.
And Lisa says, you didn't have a bachelor party.
We had one in his honor. I had one in his honor. I went to a strip club.
She just gave that sister look and that's all that happened.
Uh-huh.
And so Hugh, we cut to Hugh and he's a nervous wreck. He's getting ready to introduce Homer to his parents. And so he's like, well, here goes nothing. Mom, Dad, me, Homer Simpson.
And they exchange pleasantries. There's a pause. It's like, Homer goes, you know, what's great about you, English? Octopussy. Man, I must have seen that movie twice.
And he goes, yes. Yes. Well, that's not too bad. In case you don't know, that is the classic James Bond film.
Yes.
I would venture to say the best James Bond film.
It is very good.
From the older ones, at least.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, awesome movie.
Very, very good, very good.
The great Sean Connery.
The best Bond. The best Bond.
I agree with you. I know there's going to be people that disagree with us, but Daniel Craig's cool and all.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty cool, but no, Sean Connery is the best Bond.
I like Pierce Bronson too.
Pierce is cool, but Roger Moore's still okay, but
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Patty, we see Patty and Selma walking into the tent past an old Mr. and Mrs. Flanders.
Aha!
Continuity error.
Yes, continuity error.
We haven't gotten to that episode yet.
Yes, but for those of you in the know,
Mrs. Flanders doesn't make it that.
Yeah, she don't make it that far.
Mm-mm.
So, but we'll get to that later.
Yep. And then we see Patty going to saying, "Hey, Krabobble, if you get in the way of that bouquet, I'll stuff that sun hat down your neck."
So I guess Miss Krabobble is still looking for love too.
Yep.
And then we see Mr. Burns being wheeled in on a dolly, right, standing on it by Smithers. Smithers, take me home. I'm not fully defrosted. He's real stiff.
Yep. Smithers goes, nonsense. Just sit down and rest for a moment. There you go. And we see Mr. Burns break in half.
He just goes, ow.
And Smithy goes, oh no, we've got a situation here.
Like, I can't feel anything below my cummerbund. Oh my goodness.
So next thing we know, we see Homer checking in on Lisa. And Homer goes, ooh la la.
So Lisa's just there. Hi, Dad.
You look great, sweetheart.
She thanks him, right?
And Homer goes, Little Lisa Simpson. You know, I always felt you were the best thing my name ever got attached to. Since the time you learned to pin your own diapers, you've been smarter than me.
We have a sweet moment here, right? And she tries to interrupt. She's like, oh, Dad.
No, let me finish. I just want you to know, I've always been proud of you. You're my greatest accomplishment, and you did it all yourself. You helped me understand my own wife better and taught me to be a better person. But you're also my daughter, and I don't think anybody could have had a better daughter than you.
Dad, you're babbling.
See? You're helping me.
That's such a nice moment that they have.
Uh-huh.
And then Lisa looks down, and she sees Homer's cufflinks, and she says, hey, Dad, did you forget to give those cufflinks to Hugh?
And he goes, no.
She goes, well?
I found them on the nightstand this morning, and well, I guess they weren't his cup of tea. Don't worry about it.
And she says, but you've been going on about these all week. I'm sure he just forgot, right? And she takes them, and she walks over to where Hugh's getting ready.
And Hugh's like, Lisa, we're not supposed to see each other before the wedding. It's tradition.
And she says, what about my family's tradition? And she holds the cufflinks up to him.
And he says, surely you don't want me to wear those things in front of my parents and their friends.
She says, but you promised my dad you would.
I was just humoring him, darling. Actually, he frightens me a bit.
And she says, she knows they look a little silly, but that Homer's feelings are going to be hurt. He doesn't wear them.
And Hugh says, oh, fine. And he puts them on. And he says, I must say, you were right. This has been quite trying. You know, I've attempted to enjoy your family on a personal level, on an ironic level, as a novelty, as camp, as kitsch, as a cautionary example. Nothing works. Frankly, I'll be quite relieved when we get back to England and we don't have to deal with them.
Wow.
Damn.
I know, right?
Uh-huh.
And Lisa's like, are you saying we won't see my family again?
Well, possibly your mother will come when the children are born.
And Lisa's like, I can't believe I'm hearing this. I don't want to cut my family out of my life.
And he was like, really? But Lisa, you're better than this place. You're like a flower that grew out of a pot of dirt.
She's like, that's a horrible thing to say.
And he goes, well, come on. You complain about them all more than anyone.
And she says, maybe, but I still love them. And I don't think you understand that. And so she grabs his hand and then she walks away. And when Hugh opens his hand, her ring is there.
Yep. So we go back to the main tent and we see Reverend Lovejoy. And now to sing Amazing Grace, Miss Maggie Simpson.
And Dr. Hibbert's there, right? He's laughing. He's like, she's quite a hellion, but she does have an incredible voice.
And Maggie's like, trying to clear her throat, and she breathes in.
And right when she's going to sing, Hugh jumps in and says, stop everything. The wedding has been called off. So again, we didn't hear Maggie.
Yep. And then we see old Nelson going, ha!
And Nelson Jr. underneath him.
We see old ass Krusty just, oh.
Yep. And this part makes me laugh. Reverend Lovejoy, older Reverend Lovejoy, is, this is very sad news, and it never would have happened if the wedding had been inside the church with God instead of out here in the cheap showiness of nature.
And then Lunch Lady Doris goes, who wants cake?
And everybody goes for it, right? And so Lisa walks out past all the guests, right? And she's crying. She's taking off her, you know, her bonnet and all the stuff that she's wearing. And the scene goes back. Now we see young Lisa again. She sees the woman in the tent.
Right? And the woman goes, the next day, Hugh goes back to England and you never see him again.
So Lisa says, now that I know all this, isn't there any way to change the future?
And she goes, no. Try to look surprised.
And Lisa says, I thought you were going to tell me about my true love.
Oh, you'll have a true love, but I specialize in foretelling the relationships where you get jerked around.
And she throws a smoke bomb, right? Uh-huh. And she keeps laughing. The smoke clears and she's still there, which is hilarious.
Yep.
And so Lisa walks out of the tent, the Escalax that escaped earlier, uh-huh. Right? Hops into her arms. She puts it back in Wiggum's tent and all that stuff.
And Homer finds her, goes, Lisa, where were you? You missed the most incredible thing.
And she's really happy to see him. She says, hi, Dad. She hugs him.
And Lisa goes, I ate 7 pounds of fudge.
She goes, wow.
The man at the stand said it was a record.
Wow, what else did you do, Dad?
I rode the teacups, then I got a little sick, and I had to sit down. But then, I rode them again.
And the scene fades out, with the theme being played in a medieval style.
Uh-huh. Right. With a lute.
Yes.
And a harp.
Uh-huh. And scene.
Yep. I mean, this is a good episode.
It's a good episode. It really is. I love the time jump.
Yeah.
You know, just... I love how they found a way to keep Mr. Burns alive.
17 stab wounds in the back. I like the Chief Wiggum's Beastorium.
Oh my goodness.
The Esquilax. The two-headed hound with born with one head.
Yeah, it is a good episode. It's a classic episode. I love just the, you know, where they take everyone. Milhouse runs the plant now, things like that.
Yeah. I wonder if his dad is still a big wheel at the cracker factory.
Yeah. Well, no, right?
Got fired? Well,
he did get fired.
Yeah. But not yet, has he?
No, not yet. Not yet. Not the show's... Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah, we will. That's a great episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I love this episode. It's like a novelty episode, you know. It's...
Yeah, we get to see old Nelson.
Yeah, that's good.
A bunch of these characters don't age well.
Yeah, Bart doesn't particularly age well.
Nope. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how many donuts would you give this?
I mean, I think, okay, it's not the funniest episode.
No.
But it does, I think it's really, it's an important episode. I'll say that because you get a big, you already know the relationship between Lisa and Homer, but it just makes it that much deeper.
Yeah.
In this one.
Yeah, because they do fight often, and Homer pisses Lisa off, and she always seems like she's going to give up on her dad, but she never does.
She never does. Yeah, mm-hmm. She never does. And the thing is, as dim as Homer is, he realizes that the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, that she's smarter than him, and he learns from it. It's so reversed in that role of them growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say it's sentimental. So me, like it's a 5 for me. It might not be a 5 episode, but sentimentally it's a 5 episode for me. Just because it's, again, it's one of the ones I really remember seeing it for the first time.
For me, I mean, it's a 4 donut episode for me. I would have given it 4.5 if we had a
couch gag.
The couch gag.
You know what? I forgot about that. I might have to. You know what? I have to redo mine and give it a 4.5 on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. You know.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 donut rating for myself. It's a cutesy episode. This is the first time we get to see some of the old characters time jump to the future. Usually, it's time jump to the past, but this time we're jumping to the future. We get to see what's happened to some of these characters. It just makes me wonder why Krusty looks so bad.
Oh, yeah, he's in the wheelchair. He's still smoking a cigar, by the way.
Yep.
I remember this being a big deal, though, as an episode, like when it was first going to air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the whole week leading up to it, like the, you know, the very short clip of grown-up Lisa and grown-up Bart. Uh-huh. It's like, wow. This, you know. So that's probably a reason why my rating's up there
too. Yeah. But it is a great, really good episode. I thoroughly enjoy this episode. This season hasn't given us a stinker yet.
Nope. Not one.
Uh-uh. And is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. You know, thanks for listening. All that. I guess this was kind of weird timing with the Queen's passing and all, and then talk about the Brits in this one.
Yes.
So shout out to Her Majesty.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to record the Halloween episode
soon
too, to make sure it's out before Halloween.
No, we'll do that for sure.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to give our official Instagram a follow. That's official_Homer's_donuts without the apostrophes. Give us a follow. Send us a message if you can think of any way we can make this show better for you.
I was feeling that meme you put recently about going to work in the morning.
Yeah. It's just hard.
Yep.
It's hard now.
Don't cry for us, guys.
No. We're already dead. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.